every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for NAOACAALASLASLACRRMMCMAHALBADRA.
See, you changed up the order. It really screwed you up, didn't it?
It really did. It really did. How about FBA?
How about FBI?
Facebook Anonymous?
CIA.
I'm not a member of that.
How about FWA?
And any of
I'm not a member of that.
You should be.
And any of the Anons.
We don't speak for any of those guys. Yeah. We don't even speak that well for ourselves, as evidenced by this show.
Just listen in. You'll find out soon enough.
You're going to find out sooner or later. Welcome, Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark the Solution.
Mark the Solution.
Do you know someone who has a problem with drugs or alcohol? You know you want to intervene, but what can you do? Your loved one, friend, or colleague is spiraling out of control. You can help. Call Diversified Intervention Group. You do not have to deal with this problem alone. Call the intervention specialist at 909-559-9568. Diversified Intervention Group specializes in drug and alcohol intervention. We can help break the cycle of addiction. There is hope for recovery. The Diversified Intervention Group is your solution. Call 909-559-9568. Call now before it is too late. We provide services throughout North America. The Diversified Intervention Group. One phone call can make the difference.
Diversified Intervention Group is not a medical provider, nor do we provide medical services. If you feel that you are suffering a life-threatening situation, then immediately call 911 or contact your health care provider. Our drug and alcohol intervention service does not intend to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease.
Welcome back. Come on, Shelly. Do it. Do it, Shelly. Do it, Shelly.
Your dreams are your ticket out.
Welcome back. She won't do it, nope. But she's fighting it. She's almost ready to do it.
No, I'm not.
You are. Because I did one earlier and you couldn't help yourself.
So you moving on up.
Oh, are we
to
ready for?
To the east side.
Are we ready for?
The boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Works better with two people.
It does.
In Fresno, California, a Fresno high school student goes to trial today for charges of sexual assault on another wrestling team member during a practice.
I heard this on the radio.
He did something called a butt drag.
Yes, he did.
Which is where you, it's a hold.
I'll bet.
And it's, some people challenge whether or not it's actually a legal hold. But
was he over 18?
Where you grab between the player's buttocks
them. It's a legal move. But what he did was not exactly...
What he did was... First he made threatening gestures and comments to the kid before practice. And then when he had the kid on the mat, when they were wrestling, he digitally penetrated him.
The bowling ball maneuver.
The bowling ball maneuver, yes.
Nice.
But he claimed he was doing the butt drag. And a doctor's examination did prove that there was injury to the kid.
Okay. The butt drag.
Oh.
So that's what they're claiming now.
Yes.
There are more chairs for the peanut gallery.
Wow.
There should be another one up front somewhere. Oh, there's one right there.
Okay. We've got chairs.
It's SRO in the peanut gallery today.
Yes.
All right. Charlie Sheen's wife, Brooke Mueller, is back in rehab.
Didn't know she was there in the first place.
Well, she's
back. I thought that was Charlie's job.
Well, apparently it's her job, too. And she's currently working on a reality TV show with Paris Hilton, which is entitled Get a Life.
She wanted to get to understand Charlie better.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's not really entitled Get a Life. I'm just saying that.
Oh.
Okay.
I was going to say, that's good, though. Get a Life.
I like that.
It should be called
that.
Did it
say anything about what they're going to be reality-ing about?
No. Shopping, probably. I have no idea.
They're keeping it real.
Yeah.
all the bling that's fit to print. As determined by analyzing data from Google, here are the 10 most obscene cities in America. Are you ready?
Vegas.
Didn't make the list.
It didn't make the list?
Nope. Number 10.
Pahrump?
No. Number 10, Los Angeles. Number 9.
Wait. Los Angeles made the list and Vegas
did not.
Sin City didn't make
this
it?
This is based on analyzing Google data.
Oh, my God.
Number 9 was Pittsburgh. Number 8 was Louisville. Number 7 was Philadelphia. Number
Romance.
6 was Newark. Number 5, here's a shocker, Irvine.
What? Okay.
Number 4 was Rochester. Number 3 was Herndon, Virginia. Number 2 was Tampa, Florida. And number 1 was Ashburn, Virginia.
Okay. Obscene in what way?
Cuss words.
Oh. Los Angeles. Los Angeles just by volume.
Yeah. Irvine.
Irvine.
Irvine, cuss word capital of the world. It's like the highest discretionary income in California, practically.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an amazing list.
It still seems like all the people that would be saying, fuck, when they didn't win in Vegas would certainly, there's got to be a lot of cuss words in a casino.
It's based on Google data. That's all I know.
They're not Googling the casino.
Yeah. They're
the casino's un-Googling. Not releasing any information. Yeah. All right.
In Poughkeepsie, Pennsylvania, a 66-year-old man was sent to Bucks County Prison on $100,000 bail after he got into a fist fight with police who were trying to help him find his lost son at the Christmas tree lighting. He was found drunk and disorderly, and there is no word on the kid.
No word on the kid at all?
No, but here's the thing. There was no word on the kid in the story, but here's what I'm thinking. The guy is 66 years old. The kid is probably an adult.
Almost for sure.
So, you know, basically he got drunk and got in a fight with cops at the Christmas tree lighting because he couldn't find
his kid. He's like, I can't find my kid.
Exactly.
He probably drove somewhere.
Or my grandkid.
Yeah, I can't find my grandkid either. Wow.
In Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Sheboygan.
You know, you can't go wrong with a name like Sheboygan.
You gotta love Where are you from? Sheboygan.
It's a good one, too. Willard Lutters.
Anybody named Willard already gives problems.
Willard from Willard from Sheboygan on the line.
Yeah, exactly. We did have Willard on Sheboygan on the line, on the 911 line.
Ah.
Oh, no.
He used a series of grunts to get 911 to send an ambulance after his wife bit off half his tongue. Now, on the 911 tape, exactly. Exactly. Now, on the 911 tape, she is heard in the background singing Christmas carols and saying and screaming that the world is about to end.
Well,
now,
don't they have a safe word between them?
No, she's bipolar. She's bipolar. And
go figure.
He thinks that she was in a manic phase at the time. When the police showed up, she was actually on the front lawn singing Christmas carols and blowing a New Year's Eve horn.
Wow.
A vuvuzela.
Wow.
Yes. So, and, you know, she's bipolar and I'm bipolar. So what does that tell you?
That tells me not to French kiss you.
Especially when I'm sitting on the toilet, was because that was when it happened.
What?
I was hoping he would say something like that.
The plot thickens.
She was sitting on the toilet, and he bent down to kiss her while she was on the toilet, and she bit off his tongue.
You know, not like my thing, really.
There's a lot of subplots to this story.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
But that's
here.
All the story I know, though. That's it. So now
that's all the story that's fit to print.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
Wow.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, this is...
Well, presumably they'll be able to reattach it.
Or in your words.
In Baytown, Texas, overdue library books have landed Jessica Few in jail on charges of theft.
Uh-oh, Shelley's already up in arms on this one.
Well, no, I'm a little bit worried because, here, I'll tell you why.
Because you have some overdue books?
No, I don't have any overdue books yet. The books themselves burned up in a house fire. And she submitted the proper paperwork to the library that they asked for, you know, saying that but they're still demanding that she return the books. But she doesn't have the books because they burned up in the fire. Then they sent her to jail. And now I have that CD that got stolen.
Why don't they buy her?
They're going to send me to jail.
Why doesn't she buy the library a copy of Fahrenheit 451?
Do you know what I would do?
What?
I would burn like 2 weeks worth of newspapers and dump the ashes on the desk. Here you go.
Here are your books.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, here are your books. Thanks.
No, but I'm a little bit worried because remember that guy stole my CD player with that library CD in it, and what am I going to do?
We'll come
go
visit.
To jail.
They're going to arrest me.
Going to go
we'll
to jail.
We'll come visit.
Yeah, you'll come and visit once. One time, and you'll bring me a pack of cigarettes and then nothing. I'll be in jail for 6 months and nobody will come and see me.
You're going to be a, what do they call that?
A lured.
A lured.
Lesbian until release date.
Yeah, nice.
Brother.
Might not even be over at release date.
Anywho.
Okay.
In Baltimore, Maryland, a 21-year-old construction worker who recently converted to Islam and told an FBI informant that he thought about nothing but jihad was arrested today after trying to set off what he thought was a bomb at a military recruitment center.
What was it?
Antonio Martinez, also known as Muhammad Hussein.
Antonio Martinez, also known as what?
Muhammad Hussein.
What could be any more Muslim sounding than Muhammad Hussein?
Well, he picked it. I mean, he had to have. Anyway, the bomb was actually a fake provided by an undercover FBI agent.
Did it have a thing that came out on the side and said, boom?
No.
That would have been awesome.
Quack.
That would have been awesome.
Well, here's what I'm wondering, because there was that similar incident in Portland not too long ago where during the Christmas tree lighting, where there's a Somali teenager who was trying to blow up the Christmas tree lighting and kill a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the FBI had caught wind of it and had given him a fake bomb. And it's a sting operation, you know, try and get him to, you know, then they arrest him.
Quick note to the TSA. What is the common denominator of these people who are trying to kill Americans?
Yeah.
Let me think really hard.
I didn't hear a single grandmother.
No.
Or three-year-old.
Or three-year-old.
Or a woman with gigantic double G breasts.
Yeah, I still think she
might
need looking
at. Yeah, but those
still
need to be searched.
Yeah, those need to be looked at. There's no way around it.
What I'm saying is, you know, this is like
the
second.
They should make a training tape, as a matter
of fact.
This is
like the second or third incident where
this is not a search.
Where the FBI has said.
See, you don't know that. This is not Avatar.
This is not Batman.
See, we're the only guys that know what that is.
That's right.
Good.
It's a guy thing.
Yeah, it is a guy thing.
Good.
You can finish what you're going to say.
Okay, go ahead.
At any rate, what I was saying is, it seems to me that this is like the second or third one of these incidents where the FBI says that the public was never in any danger, which makes me think that the FBI is like getting on the stick and smoking these people out, which would be a good thing.
Of course, like I've said before, if I was the FBI, that's what I would say too.
True.
You were never in any danger, folks. Whew.
Yeah.
The FBI agent going,
Well, if you think about it, you got to think the FBI guys are like, okay, we gave this guy a fake explosive. How many guys are around there without fake explosives?
Yeah.
And where are they at right now? Are they at the mall? You know, I mean, we're, you know.
They're at a university in Yemen.
Learning how to tell what's a fake bomb. In Kansas City, and I'm not real clear on whether it's Kansas City, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, here I come.
In Kansas City, police are investigating a case of excessive force after the cops broke down a woman's door, threw a flashbang grenade past her 2-year-old's head, it then hit the floor and caught the drapes on fire, and the kid's standing right there. And all for, they had a search warrant to recover a cell phone from a man they had in custody. So they'd already arrested the guy.
Why didn't they just go up and knock on the door and
say,
ma'am,
exactly,
can we have the...
That's exactly what the police department is looking into. Why didn't you just knock on the
door? Can we have the phone?
I'll bet this is Kansas City, Kansas.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Just taking a shot.
It's not Missouri.
Yeah.
They're the show me state. They would have just shown the cell phone right off the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the woman's wondering. She said, you know, she knows her brother's in jail, that he's in trouble. She wanted to know why they didn't knock on the door.
He's really in trouble now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
the cops are in trouble. Also, he's gonna save a seat for him in the cell.
Yeah, his sister's gonna kick his ass when he gets out.
Well, geez, I would too. Okay,
all right.
We have a public service announcement.
Is it from Florida?
No.
No.
We've got some Florida news coming up in the next show. The U.S. Product Safety Commission is recalling 59,000 Rachael Ray tea kettles because they spill while being poured, posing a burn hazard. And that would not be the first time that Rachael Ray has spilled a drink.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
That whole setup was just for me to do that joke.
You know what? I was going to say a recall. I thought it was going to be a, what was it, a teapot?
Teapot, yeah.
That only makes booze or something. Teapot that works as a still. Has she ever gotten sober?
Well, she was off the Food Network for a brief period
after a series of shows.
Well, she did a series of shows in which you could tell there had been heavy editing.
I know that was a cute announcement and all, but have you ever used a teapot that didn't spill when you tried to pour the hot water out of it?
No.
Yeah, they all spill.
They all spill.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Rachael Ray.
Still a cute story, though.
Lodi. Yeah. What was that show she used to do?
Oh, $40 a day.
She'd spend $40 a day buying food out on vacation, and she was visiting Seattle. And I used to tell Shelly, I'm like, this chick is a drunk. She's a drunk, and like every show she's getting hammered. And Shelly's like, no, she's not.
No, she's not.
And then they go to Seattle, and I'm like, watch, she's going to spend like half her daily allowance at a microbrewery. And the first thing she does and goes in and buys this $7 assortment of beer, which is like, was like 12 6-ounce things. I'm like, that's a 6-pack right there. She's always picking up some drink and saying, ooh, that's got a kick.
Yeah, she's a little bit famous for her imbibing.
Hammered. She needs to go on like Iron Chef and it'll be like Battle.
She was on Iron Chef.
Was it Battle Vodka or something?
No, it was Battle Cranberry.
See, for you, that would be just like Battle Vodka.
Yeah, Vodka Cran.
Sweet.
That's the end of the boozy news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Awesome!
So anyway.
That was good.
What are we going to talk about tonight?
I don't know. I just heard you guys had a topic. So we're all looking at Shelly.
The mind wobbles.
It won't fall down.
I've lost the topic.
Triggers? Bullet?
I knew you were going to do that because you did it earlier.
What else would you do for trigger?
We were talking about the topic.
I know.
Stuffed on the mantle.
So, you know why we didn't laugh this time?
Because I already said it.
We didn't laugh last time.
Yeah, but there's people at home that laughed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're busting up. Fran thought that was great.
The guys that are stoned.
Fran's going to have his new ringtone. Yeah.
The ones that are having the drinking game. Recovery. People falling out right now.
All the sober people on marijuana maintenance were laughing at that, too.
Yeah, they're the only ones. They're the only ones. So what position do you want to look at? How not to have them? What are they? Are they good for you? Are they itchy?
I've just forgotten the topic again.
Are they itchy fingers?
Oh, triggers. Sorry. I don't know. What are your triggers?
I used to have a trigger. When I first got sober, I had a trigger at when I was at Impact House. I had a real trigger on spoons. I really did. And they made me carry a spoon around with me for about 2 weeks and to, like, desensitize me to spoons. Besides that, the only trigger I had was, like, a big pile of cocaine, and that always triggered me pretty good, no matter what.
Well, yeah, but you know
Bang.
What?
Yeah.
I've noticed that when we're watching TV, if something comes on about drugs or whatever, and they show cocaine or meth or something like that. You don't watch it.
No. But it's not because it triggers me. I just don't like to watch it. I don't like to watch people slam because it's annoying to me. I think about the pain of slamming, and I'm not getting anything in return.
You missed a lot of Scarface, didn't you?
Yeah. I didn't watch Scarface.
Okay.
I didn't watch very much of Sid and Nancy either.
I've seen Scarface, but I haven't seen Sid and Nancy.
Sid and Nancy. There's a lot of slamming in Sid and Nancy.
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one. I hated that movie.
Yeah, I watched part of Pulp Fiction. I watched most of Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
I hated that movie. It grossed me out.
Shelly, you used to get triggers going to the market, right?
Yes. We had our local market. It wasn't too bad. I mean, because the local grocery store that we used to have over here, all the checkers knew me.
Liquor Barn.
No, it was Ralph's Grocery Store.
She called it Ralph's Grocery Store, but it was Liquor Barn.
All the checkers there knew me. So when I got sober, and I meant it, I told all the checkers that, you know, don't sell me any booze. And that was okay. The only problem was I still had a problem going in that store sometimes because the water bottles, which I need a lot of, were in the same section with the booze. So I really hated that. And then they moved the water onto the other side of the store. And it was perfect because then the booze was just in a little corner and I didn't have to deal with
it. Yeah, for her.
They did that for you.
Just for me.
It was Liquor Barn. She kept coming home trying to tell me it was a sack of potatoes. I'm like, no, it's vodka. How about you, Mark? You need triggers?
No triggers.
None?
None.
Now, but how about early on?
No. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's like you, I don't particularly, I'm not pretty fond of seeing a pile of cocaine on television.
I'm even less fond if it's like within arm's reach.
I've never seen it within arm's reach, because if it's within arm's reach, my guess is I could generate enough suction.
from two feet away.
I'd be like Carrie. I could make that stuff move from the table to me.
It'd be like, who is the guy that used to bend things and bend the spoons and
Yuri
stuff
Geller?
On Johnny Carson? Yeah. Yeah, it'd be like Yuri Geller, yeah. Cocaine, come to me.
Come to me.
I used to also have I haven't had it so much this year because I did some gardening this summer, but gardening used to be a huge trigger for me because I used to drink and garden at the same time. And I would find myself the first couple of years after I got sober, I would find myself actually sitting out there in the dirt, reaching over for my wine glass or my vodka glass.
Is that why the rows of seedlings were all jacked up? And weren't straight?
Probably. Who knows?
They were straight at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was perfect.
Probably. It took a while for that to go away. It was just this last summer that I was able to actually plant something.
It's hard for me to relate to the, sort of like Mark, it's hard for me to relate to the trigger thing now because I don't really get triggered anymore, but I used to. But it was the spoon thing really used to do it for me.
I have a question for you, though.
Okay.
When you share or speak in meetings.
Uh-huh. Have I triggered other people?
Are you aware of the fact that certain parts of your pitch could trigger people, and do you change them?
I absolutely – I took an entire thing out of my pitch. I did. I talked about this time I overdosed. And I was telling it the way I would normally tell it, and I'm not going to do it here. Because
which is really funny, by the way, when you listen to it.
This guy comes up to me afterwards, and he's like, dude. He's like, you can't share that like that. And I'm like, why not? And he goes, dude, I want to go out and bang right now. And I'm like, really? And he goes, oh, dude. He goes, you can't. And I have never shared that like that again after that because I triggered someone with – I can't even describe it. You guys are missing out right now.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But I can't tell it. Anybody that slams will be out there.
I don't think I've ever triggered anybody with my story because I don't have a very good one. Sorry, I'm yawning.
I'm sure there's people that get triggered by the very mention of the booze or the drug. I mean, it just depends on where you are in your recovery and how new you are and how into recovery you are.
I'm sure I've triggered newcomers to go back out, but you know what? I don't care.
Well, yeah, you've got some – you know what? There would be people that would hear Mark's story about the gal in the hot tub with the cocaine that would immediately think cocaine, and that would be all they'd need to think. Because I know that there was times when I wasn't this sobriety where just hearing about cocaine or thinking about cocaine would really do it for me. I'd be start to obsess right there.
Over the cocaine or the naked chick in the hot tub?
Take your choice.
Yes.
Yes, both. It's all good.
So what did you used to do when you'd have a trigger that would make you squirrely?
What I used to do when I had a trigger is I'd go get
slam.
Loaded. That
okay.
was the problem.
After you got sober the final time,
I haven't really had triggers. The final time. Yeah. I really haven't. I matter of fact, and I've seen rock cocaine and I've seen powder cocaine numerous times, and I've never been triggered to go out. And I don't know if that's just a thing of I'm done or God remove the obsession or what. I don't know. I don't care, but I don't get them. But in earlier sobrieties, I did. And normally what I did, like I said, at Impact House, they made me carry around a spoon for a couple of weeks because I used to sit there and I'd bend the spoon. I'd set it on the table and bend it. See, I probably just triggered a bunch of people. Thanks a lot. I've killed them now. Wow. Silence. How about you, Shelley?
Get out of myself. You know, the trigger will pass. I mean, the trigger will pass. I mean, you know, your mother has a thing on her fridge that says wait 5 minutes because in Weight Watchers, you know, you get a food craving. If you wait 5 minutes, it'll go away. And it's the same thing with a trigger. If you wait 5 minutes, it'll go away.
I add something to it.
Oh, no.
I want a dish of ice cream. Okay, I'm going to wait 5 minutes. I have hot fudge. I didn't remember that at first.
And whipped cream.
See, I've solved that problem by not having any ice cream in the house.
And whipped cream and peanuts and maraschino cherry.
Yeah.
And a banana.
Yeah. Might as well have a beer.
Yep. Might as well. Now, Mark, how about guys that have triggers that you sponsor? What do you tell them?
Well, you know, I haven't had to deal with that very much.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, you know, other than... this too shall pass, and you don't have to react to the feelings that come up wrapped around your former drug use.
True.
You know, because if you react to it, there's something in your first step that you didn't do correctly.
True.
Because, you know, once you really have a grasp on that surrender to your disease, nothing's going to make you react in such a way as to go out and use. You might feel crappy for a while because of something that triggered, but welcome to life.
Yeah. That's the name of the recovery house right behind us. Right here by the
Feel Laguna crappy
Beach,
for a while?
Right here by the Laguna Beach studio. I was thinking along with what we said, and it's not exactly a trigger, but there are times when I think about just the thought of, like, cocaine or whatever comes in my head, and I immediately do the serenity prayer. And someone was asking me the other day why I do that at my store, actually. And it's like when someone says, count to 10 when you're angry. You're really angry. You're really pissed off. And they say, count to 10, and it like, cuts off that instant I'm going to go off thing.
I get to 6.
You get to... Well, see it.
Progress, not perfection.
I do that. I say the serenity prayer. And by the time I'm done with the serenity prayer, my head is in a completely different place than, you know, I think, oh, cocaine. Ooh, a recreational eight ball. I can't remember what it's called now. Eddie, what's the speed and downer slam?
Speedball.
Yeah, recreational speedball might be nice. And then I have to do the serenity prayer, and the thought goes away.
God, grant me the serenity not to choke the crap out of this person who's sharing.
Yeah.
That serenity prayer?
Yeah, that
okay.
one.
Yeah.
That works good.
Yeah.
Shelley, do you have any final words on the subject?
Triggers come and triggers go. I mean, it's... You know, one time I was driving down to pick up the kids after school, and I happened to drive past, because I'm going across Roland, and I drove past the mark, one of the places where I used to buy booze.
The liquor store.
And now that was actually a liquor store, yes.
Pickwick.
And the car actually started to turn into the parking lot.
Okay.
By itself.
I'm going to call shenanigans.
Okay, you can go ahead and call shenanigans.
I'm calling shenanigans on anyone says that their car automatically drives into a parking lot.
I know that it didn't, but that's what it felt like, because I was making the conscious decision to go and pick up the kids from school, not to go into the Pickwick parking lot, but the car started turning.
Oh, shit.
So I'm turning the car. That's
bullshit.
That's an autonomic response.
That's a what?
It's an autonomic response, okay. More or less.
That's AA.
But I didn't. I passed by it. I swerved a little, but I passed by it.
I swerved.
And went around the corner, and once I pulled over to wait for the kids, I prayed about it, and it went away. The feeling went away. I felt really uncomfortable for a minute. And you know,
I'd feel uncomfortable if my car suddenly had a mind of its own and started turning as well.
I put my car in park.
Usually it's my arms that are turning it.
It was the right time of day. It was the right circumstances when I would normally have gone to buy
happy hour.
Alcoholic. Yeah, alcohol. Exactly.
I put the car in park. It was still rolling.
It wasn't happy hour. It was happy day.
Happy afternoon.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
So at any rate, I mean, I got through it. And it didn't require any, you know, major dramatics. I called my sponsor. I told her about it. It was, you know, no big deal.
She said take a different route home, didn't she?
No. Yeah,
try and avoid.
She should have. See, she sucks.
Try and avoid the liquor store.
But, I mean, just the simplest thing to do is just to pray about it. I mean,
since going the other way is faster anyway.
Yeah, you take your car to the mechanic. What's the matter? I don't know. I was driving straight and it turned itself into a liquor store. Can you check that out?
I'm just going to stop now. Y'all can just finish the show on your own.
Well, we're almost there. Mark, do you have any final words on the subject?
Just because you have a trigger doesn't mean you have to pull it.
Ooh. Oh, Shelly actually turned off and set it down.
You know, we're not going to stop the show now until she picks her mic back up and turns it on. We're going to bag on her for the next like 10 minutes. You know. She's just, Shelly's doing her 6-year-old version of, pound your feet on the ground a couple times. That'd be really cool. Start bouncing your feet, and you know what, rock in the chair too. That's really good. If you rock in the chair and pound your feet on the ground, we love that when that happens.
We triggered her.
Yeah.
Triggered her. That'll be the thing for the next episode will be anger.
Yeah.
And it'll be sharing.
Anger management.
No, you know what we could do?
What?
Shelly's fourth step.
Yeah, she doesn't even need to be on for that. You and I could do her for
it's so much easier to take other people's inventory than my own.
I know. You take columns 1 and 3. I'll take 2 and 4.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. We'll just split them up.
Yeah.
We'll have my final words on the subject are: if you've got something that's triggered you, if you can do something to stop yourself for the moment, whether it's do the Serenity Prayer, count to 10, or whatever it is to get your mind out of that spot, that would probably serve you pretty well. At least it worked okay for me. Mark.
What?
Do we have any friends online?
Shelly would know.
I would, but I don't have my mic on.
Friends
interestingly
online.
Enough, everyone heard you anyway.
No, they didn't.
InTheRooms.com. You can go to InTheRooms.com. It's a completely free site. And you can go listen to speaker tapes and find groups in the A of your choice. You can go to Friends of Recovery 101 and listen to the show on our in-bed player while searching the site. Have fun.
Sweet. This reminds me of the time that way back in the day that James and Lee left the show and left me on the air by myself.
Oh, yeah.
On regular radio.
Well.
It was awesome. So I went into a monologue. And they were gone for about 10 minutes. They came back. They said, dude, what the hell? You didn't even stop. And I said, why would I stop?
Did you do a monologue in a monotone?
I did a monologue like this, and I didn't really change my voice at all. We've got friends back east.
We've got
Bruce the Other White Meat at 12stepgazette.com.
Where's that at? The city of Bromance?
That's in the city of Brotherly Love.
Same difference.
Bromance City. You can check out his publication online. He'll email it to you. You can get the subscription prescription He'll put it on the back of a bull. You can slap it in the ass. It'll bring it right to your place.
There you go.
You can get additional copies for, like, your local Alano Club and stuff. And if you want to, you can even talk to him about doing a franchise of it. That's a big thing that I've noticed lately he's been talking about.
Okay.
Mark.
Yes.
Do we have any email addresses?
We do. Recovery101radio at gmail.com, recovery101radio at hotmail.com, and recovery_101 at hotmail.com.
Videos are at youtube.com/easylook, youtube.com/recovery101rule62. Well, Shelly, who's the lead out music by? Oh, wait, Shelly doesn't have a microphone. Mark.
Yes.
Who would you like to hear tonight?
Guns N' Roses.
Sweet. Which one?
You got it? Don't care. Whatever one Shelly wants to
Shelly
pick.
Shelly loves Guns N' Roses because the local radio station around here, Jack, plays them like constantly. Sweet. Everyone, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out. And take care of you.
Awesome.